Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
Scriptures, but I wrote this one down because I think it's so significant because it emphasizes the heart of God, which is mercy. And it says so specifically for us not to judge. Luke 6, 36 and 37 says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." We read that and it says, don't judge and you won't be judged. And the scriptures there aren't saying that other people won't judge you. The scriptures there are saying, if you forgive, God will forgive you. And if you don't judge, God won't judge you. If you're merciful, you'll receive mercy. But we still have judgments from other people, and we even judge our own hearts. I like it that Paul says in Corinthians 4, verse 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says some pretty powerful things, but I'm going to read these two scriptures because they just mean so much. They're so powerful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, Paul says, "I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me." And I read that on the way over here. I read that scripture. Not that I hadn't prepared this talk, because I have. It's been kind of stirring in my heart since last Tuesday. And I've been spending a lot of time in God's Word and saying, God, what is it that you want me to say? There was a scripture where Paul said, "I don't even judge my own heart." And I think that's so significant for us tonight, that as Christians, we have permission from God, not only permission, but encouragement. Don't judge one another, and don't judge your own heart. You present yourself to God, ask His forgiveness, and receive no judgment. Be free from judgment. And so what I felt directed to just share with you all tonight is two things that God's walked me through in my life and that have freed me from so much. Because I don't know about you, you know, some people have an attitude like, oh, I don't really care what other people think. And other people have an attitude like they exhibit to other people that they don't really care, but they really do care. And I think that most people, most of us, whether we act like we care or we act like we don't care, we do care, and it's painful when someone judges us. And so I wanted to just talk a little bit about what do you do when someone has judged your heart? And what do you do when someone has withdrawn their spirit from you? What I mean by withdrawn their spirit is that they just have this wall up. And they've somehow judged you by maybe a mistake that you made, or maybe just a motive that they have judged wrongly. But for whatever reasons, they've stood in the place of God and they've judged your heart. And then they've put a wall up between you and them that you can't penetrate. And it's painful. You know, I could give an outline like, so here's what you do. Step one, step two, step three. But let me just say this first of all. It hurts. You know what hurts the most is when it's someone that was once really close to you. It really hurts. And that's why I love the book of Psalms. I love the way that David shared in the Bible. I feel like that would be my goal, is to share the way he shared, which is just so raw and so open and so real and so about his life that I can read the book of Psalms and it can express just the deepest core hurt in me. And I looked over in Psalm 41:9, and David wrote this: "Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." You know, David made a lot of mistakes. I mean, big mistakes. But he loved God. And somehow, one of his close friends judged his heart and put up a wall against him. And David expresses his deep pain in that. So what do we do when that happens? Number one, we need to ask God to please help us with the pain, first of all. You know, I'm someone that I kind of pretend like things don't hurt my feelings when they really do. And I'm not so sure if that's good or bad or whatever. I think finally at age almost 38, I don't know how much I can particularly change myself. And so I have not come to a place where I'm just this open door, like I just, you hurt my feelings, I'm going to tell you and cry and all that. But I will go to God and I'll say, God, that really hurt. I think sometimes the first step is just acknowledging, you know, someone's judged my heart and they've put up a wall against me. And it's painful. And so going to God and expressing that pain. And then number two, the thing that I've had to do each time is to say, but God, search my heart. Psalm 139 so expresses that. It says, God, please search my heart and know me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It's like asking God, show me where I am wrong. Show me what I can change. I'm open to that, God. Please search me. And in doing so, you know, God shows us a lot of things. But usually he'll show you some place that you can ask for forgiveness from him, or some place that you really did trip up. But see, our God doesn't stand as a judge over us saying, okay, you messed up, now I'm just going to withdraw myself from you. God doesn't do that. People do that. And so what do we do when people do that? We have to go with God. Go to God with the pain. We have to say, God, search my heart. And then one of the things that God has had me pray lately is, God, this is so painful. Have I done it to anyone else? Knowingly or unknowingly? Lacey and I had a business situation with someone quite a years back. And I would say most of it was between Lacey, but it was just a situation where it was not a good thing, and we tried to handle it in a very godly manner, and it had to do with the construction of our house. And as I was praying and saying, God, search my heart, you know, show me where I can ask for forgiveness from you, and anything, the things, the majillions, is that a word? I don't know. But the thousands, the millions of things, the weaknesses that I have in me, you know, please help me with those. I am so aware of so many weaknesses. I am real aware. I'm painfully aware. Lacey's real aware. A lot of us are aware of our weaknesses, but I have so many I'm not even aware of. So search me. And then number two, have I judged someone else's heart and withdrawn my spirit? When I went through leukemia, this person that we have these dealings with in construction gave platelets to me, went and donated platelets. That means giving their blood, but it takes a ton more time because it's not just giving your blood. It's sitting there for hours and hours and hours, usually around 5 to 6 hours many times to give platelets. And so a couple days ago, again, I wrote them a letter and I said, again, I want to thank you. Because I don't see that person, so there's no way for me to sort of make restitution. But I wanted them to know I'm not withholding my spirit from you. Why? Because I know how painful that is. I know it's painful. Number three, what do we do when someone's judged our heart or withheld their spirit from us? Forgive them. You know, I love words and reading about words and learning about words, but I love words in print. I love cards. I love the meaning of words. And one of the things that I see when I see the word forgive in print is I see really big in the center of the word forgive, give. I see like little four, F-O-R, and a huge give. And I think that's what Jesus came for. He came for God to give, forgive. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave. And so the greatest thing I can do to show the love of God or to walk in the love of God is to give. And how do I do that? It's to forgive. And so I've gone to God with my heart hurt, and I've said, search my heart. And then I need to say, God, I forgive that person for judging me. And I forgive that person for withholding their spirit from me. And God, as hard as it is, I forgive that person for hurting me. It's forgiving. And then we need to bless them. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And so sometimes when the pain comes up and it's really raw and really painful, just to outwardly, openly, verbally bless that person. Even if you're in your car by yourself, just bless that person. And then lastly, there's so many scriptures that say this, but I picked two. Romans 12:18 and Hebrews 12:14 and 15 say, you know, basically, if you can go to them humbly, if possible. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I love it that God wrote that because it says, as far as it depends on you. Meaning you can only go so far, but go the extra mile. Humbly go to them. Live at peace with them as far as it depends on you. Hebrews 12:14-15 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And so the word is saying, you know, once you have come to God with your pain, once you have asked Him to search your heart, once you have forgiven and blessed them, go to them. And I've often thought, you know, that's kind of the order that God's taken me through. Why don't I just go to them first? Why do I have to go to the steps of giving God my pain and you know, asking Him to search my heart and forgiving them? Why don't I just go to them and straighten it all out? Because I would be going to them, and you would be going to whoever might have judged you or withheld their spirit from you in defense of yourself and saying, you're wrong, I'm right, why are you acting this way? Instead of humbly saying, you know, I love you, or I care about you, or can we talk about this? But believe it or not, that's not what I want to talk about tonight. What I want to talk about tonight is what happens when you've done all that and someone continues to judge your heart. Then what do you do? What happens when I've done all that and someone continues to judge my heart? Then what do? I love David. I love reading about David. I love studying David. I feel like if my son could be like David, you know. David was a warrior, a worshiper, and a king. And he was a strong and powerful leader. He was a man after God's own heart. And David's bloodline was chosen by God to carry the Messiah, that he would be in the house of David. That's why Mary and Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem, because that's where David was from. David of Bethlehem. And when I look at the life of David, I think, you know, David was misunderstood and judged all his life. And one story in particular that sticks out to me so much and that has really taught me, what do you do when someone continues to judge your heart? What do you do when someone continues to withhold your spirit. When you've done all you can do, if it be up to you, live at peace with all men, and you've done everything you can do, then what do? And it's hidden within the story of David and Goliath. See, David was chosen of a prophet named Saul, a prophet named Samuel, who God told Samuel to go and anoint the new king of Israel. And David was chosen as that new king of Israel. But before he even kind of lived into the plan that God had for his life, he had battles to overcome. He had battles to win that he had been prepared to win. But sometimes when you go up against those battles and you're in a battle, that's when those distractions come and that's when those misjudgments come. Sometimes this is a battle for your identity, you know. Maybe you're going through just a season of, who am I really? I know who my parents are, I know who my brothers and sisters are, but who am I? Or maybe it's a battle, you know, financially, or maybe it's a battle in your business, or maybe it's a battle in what God's called you to do ultimately in your life. And God wants us to live into the plan and the destiny that he has for each one of us and not get distracted. So here's David, and what's going on at that time is that the Israelites, who David is an Israelite, are fighting the Philistines. And David's been taking care of the sheep in the field. And his oldest brothers, he has seven brothers. He's the youngest of all the brothers. He's the youngest. He's the eighth. But his oldest brothers, his oldest three brothers, are on the battlefield. And David's father, Jesse, says, leave the sheep, leave them, and go and check on your brothers in the battlefield. And so David leaves his sheep, and he goes to the battlefield to check on his brothers. And he begins asking about what's going on. Well, what's going on is the story that we all grew up hearing, and that is that the Israelites are fighting against the Philistines, and the Philistines have this huge guy named Goliath of Gath. I don't know where Gath is, but it didn't sound very good. And so here's Goliath, who's over 9 feet tall, and who is fighting the Israelites for the Philistines and threatening the Israelites and defiling the name of God. He's defiling God. And so David starts inquiring about, you know, who is this giant? Who is this that's defiling the name of the living God? Who is this giant? And in 1 Samuel 17:28, it talks about what happens when David inquires about the giant, because he wants to serve God, and he wants to defend the name of Jesus. I mean, of God at that time. We know Jesus was there too, but he wants to defend the name of Jesus. Jesus was there from the beginning, so that's what I mean by that. And so he goes to the Israelite soldiers, and his brother overhears him, and his older brother says this, 1 Samuel 17:28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why do you come down here? And with whom do you lead those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Okay, if that's not judging someone's heart, I don't know what is. So here is someone that David came to actually help and serve and was sent by his father to help. And they're on the battlefield together to fight the enemy together. They're on the same team. And yet this brother of David's, who's supposed to be on the same side as David, instead of focusing on the enemy, turns to David and says, here, I'm judging your heart. You're conceited. I know why you're here. You're here to make a show of yourself, or you're here for, you know, bad reasons. And David's response to his oldest brother Eliab in 1 Samuel 17:29 is very telling. He says one word that's very telling, and it's the word now. He says, now, what have I done? Can't I even speak? You know why that word is very telling? Because David there lets us know this has happened before. This is a repetitive judgment of his heart. He's like, now what have I done? And sometimes that happens in our life where we're like, that's great and all, forgive, bless, try to make restitution. But what happens when someone just continues to judge my heart and withhold their spirit? Then what do I do? Well, we're going to look at what David does. I think about David's older brother, Eliab, you know, saying that to David, like, you know, you're conceited and how wicked you are. And you've come down just to watch the battle. In other words, you're just here for entertainment or you're just here to show off. And I think, you know, we kind of got to give Eliab a little bit of a break because Eliab's watched David grow up. And sometimes the people that judge our hearts are sometimes the people that are close to us that have watched us grow up in God or that have watched us make mistakes. And instead of doing what God does, and that is continue to let us grow and make mistakes and ask for forgiveness and move on, they hold us there in judgment. And that's not of God. And I just want you to know tonight, if there's anyone that's judged your heart or put up a wall for you, and maybe you did make a mistake, please don't take that as being the heart of God. God's heart, like we talked about last Tuesday, God's heart is that He sees us as who He created us to be. He sees us as we will be, not even as we are. Isn't that great news? Even tonight where you sit, God sees you as who you will be and not as who you are. And the heart of God is when other people, especially brothers and sisters in the Lord, can see you as who you will be and not as who you were, and sometimes not even as who you are. So David is about to fight the biggest battle of his life because we know the story. He's going to go up against Goliath. And he shows us something so significant in this, though, because he doesn't get distracted by Eliab's judgment. I've often thought, you know, if I hadn't studied the life of David and if I hadn't learned and gleaned from him, would I do what he did? Because in 1 Samuel 17:30, there are four huge significant words that tells us what David did after Eliab made those comments and judged his heart. It says this: he then turned away. Eliab judged David's heart again. And David said, what have I done? And then he turned away. And the Bible says that he goes on to inquire to other people, hey, what's the deal with the giant? He turned away. And so that would be the first thing that I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling us. If someone is continually judging your heart and withholding their spirit from you, and you've done all you know to do, then you've got to turn away. You've got to turn away and turn towards the battle that God has called you to fight and win. You've got to turn away from the judgment. You've got to turn away so that you can be focused on what God has called you to do, so that you can grow up into what He has asked you to do and not be focused on that judgment. So the story goes on to say that King Saul overhears that David wants to stand up for God and fight Goliath. And Saul says, well, you're not able. David ignores that, too. That's kind of a good thing to remember. You know, Saul looked at David and said, you know, I don't even think you're able to go against this giant. But David knew in his heart that God had called him to do it. And he doesn't back down for what God had called him to do. So he says in 1 Samuel 17:37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So what happens? Saul starts to dress David in his own armor. And he puts a bronze helmet on his head. And in 1 Samuel 17:39, it says that David was not used to the bronze armor. So he says, I cannot go in these because I'm not used to them. And then this is step number two when we're continually being judged for something or having someone withhold their heart and we've done all we know how to do. Turn away. And then number two, what David did with the bronze armor, he took it off. And I thought, God, I know there's something significant in this. And the Lord reminded me that in the Bible, bronze always stands for two things: judgment and humanity. It always stands for human strength and judgment. And what David was basically doing is that Saul had put on this helmet of judgment on him and put on this armor of bronze, of judgment and human strength. And David wasn't used to it. David wasn't used to fighting battles under judgment or human strength. And so he took it off. And I think it's so interesting to note, I'm going to see if I actually wrote down these scriptures. I hope I did. Well, I wrote down the reference. 1 Samuel 17:5 and 6 describes Goliath's armor. And I think the word bronze, if I remember correctly, in Goliath's armor is used like 3 or 4 times. He had a helmet of bronze, and he had this of bronze, and a breastplate of bronze, and bronze, and bronze, and bronze. See, because the giants come after us wearing judgment and human strength, but we can't fight spiritual battles wearing judgment and human strength. So I think the simple message that God wants to convey to you tonight is that when someone is continually judging your heart and putting up a wall, withholding their spirit from you, you know what I mean by that? They're just not there for you anymore. They're just not there. And it is so painful, especially when it's someone that you, like David wrote in the Psalms, shared your bread with. And you thought, they'll never betray me. And God says, here's what I want you to do. Come to me with your pain. Search your heart. Let me search your heart. Ask for forgiveness for the things you need to ask for forgiveness for. Bless them and go to them. If you can go to them, go to them. But if they still continue, then you've got to turn away, just like David. You've got to take off the bronze. You've got to take off the judgment and take off the pain, because we all have a purpose in this life, and we are going to be misjudged by other people. But I love it that David did not get distracted by that. I often think that if David had kept on that armor of bronze, that armor of human strength and judgment, I think he'd be dead. I think Goliath would have killed him, but he didn't. He fought with the weapons that he had used, that God had trained him in, and he slayed the giant. And if we're going to slay the giants in our lives, we have to really turn towards God and take off the judgment and turn away from the judgments on our heart. We have to turn away. And so I just want to challenge you for 2 things tonight. You know, if there's someone that you can go to that you feel like has in some way misjudged you and you can go to them, you know, first go to God with your hurt and pain. Ask for forgiveness. Admit your mistakes if there needs to be admitting. Bless them and go to them. But if they are unwilling, just like Eliab was unwilling towards David, David became a king and a warrior and a man after God's own heart because he turned away and because he took off the bronze. And I just want to encourage you to do that tonight as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for speaking to us. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for freedom from judgment. I thank you that your word says so clearly that we can stand in complete and utter freedom from even our past mistakes and sins, and that you remember them no more. When we ask for forgiveness, you don't remember them. God, help us to do that for others. Help us to let them separate themselves from the things that they did that weren't right. God, show us tonight anyone that we've withdrawn our spirit from or that we've judged their heart. And Lord, if there be any way that we can make that right, please show us that too. And Father, I ask also for you to help any person here who feels like their heart has been judged or that someone has withheld their spirit from them. And God, I just ask, first of all, that you would really heal that pain. But secondly, I ask that you would help them to not judge themselves, that they would go to you and let you remove that thorn of judgment, let you remove that bronze of human judgment, and that they would be free to be all that you've called them to be. In one way or another, you've called all of us to be worshipers, warriors, and kings. You've called all of us to be people after your own heart. God, I ask that you would put a fire under us tonight to release anyone that we have inflicted that pain upon. And you would put even as much fervor under us to release ourselves into your loving hands, to turn away from the judgments and to turn towards the battle that you've given us to fight, the good fight, so that we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.